Well, we find ourselves here once again doing a place-by-place fishing report just for you guys. It is, of course, Captain Josh and Robert Lukowitz sitting here in Fish and Frank's world headquarters in downtown bustling metropolis of Port Charlotte. Well, wait a minute, is this Port Charlotte or Charlotte Harbor?
This is now Port Charlotte.
Where does the Charlotte Harbor line start?
Traffic light.
So you're in Port Charlotte by... like 50 feet?
Yeah.
Okay. Super.
Yep. As soon as you cross that light, it's a new zip code, and that's Port Charlotte.
On the edge of Charlotte Harbor, here to discuss what's been going on this past week, what we think might be happening this week upcoming, because you can predict the future from the past. Sort of.
Okay.
Sort of. I mean, what? Listen, what's the point of a fishing report at all if you can't predict the future from the past?
Okay, I'll go with that.
Because all we're doing is we're talking about what's been happening and therefore what we think might happen.
Okay.
It's the whole point of it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a little weird way around it, but yeah, sure. That works.
I still feel like you're not really agreeing with me. You're just saying it to make me shut up.
Sometimes it's easier.
We will start with the Peace River, Robert.
Well, I don't have, like, medications that I can give you. It's like I was watching the highlights of that Johnny Depp trial, and they were asking him about, like, pills and all sorts of, you know, Johnny Depp stuff, and they were saying, well, isn't it true that you gave Marilyn Manson some medication, some types of pills? He goes, yeah, but it was just to get him to shut up.
Well, sometimes.
It's like Benadryl for children. Quiet.
You know, I'm not going to take a pill that you canned me. You're going to have to find some other way to do it.
Be a baracus, yeah.
You're going to...
I'll put it in your chicken sandwich.
I'm not going to eat a chicken sandwich you hand me either. You're going to have to trank gun me or something.
There you go.
Would you like to start with the fishing report, though? Because this is absurdities.
It is.
All right.
It's fun.
Peace River, Harbor Heights, and upriver along with Shell Creek. What do we got?
A lot of snook moving around up in there. A handful of redfish. Most of them have been smaller redfish.
How about the snook? What size are they?
They're a mixed variety. I'm hearing them from 20 inches all the way up to one guy got a 38 incher the other day.
That's nothing to complain about.
No. He got it on a shad tail, so he was super excited. There has been some juvenile tarpon rolling around up in there, but of course... nobody really catching them. And then there has been some trout in some of the deeper pockets, especially around the power lines, and then going up into Shell Creek on that straightaway. So you got a good chance of a slam. And then Pegleg was saying he needs to get you up there to go take some pictures of the spoonbills that are all over the place up there.
Yeah, I saw some of the pics that he took with his cell phone, what we've got going on up there. Of course, my birding lens is currently in New York.
Oh, okay. So it'll be a bit.
We're going to have to wait. I got to see what's wrong with that lens. Something's screwed with it.
Oh, well. Hopefully you get it back soon enough.
Hopefully. But, yeah, I mean, upriver is going to be really cool here soon.
Yeah.
Because we're getting into that stage where it's just starting to warm up, but it's not really going to be hot up there yet.
Yeah.
And that's usually one of the fishiest times, but it's also definitely going to be the birdiest time.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
You have multiple things that you can do up there. And when you're up there with it, those birds are kind of used to people running up and down the river.
Mm-hmm.
What disturbs them is you getting close and then stopping.
Right.
So, you know, it's less important during the springtime, but as we get into the warm weather again, I'll probably be reminding people about this again, because if they get up off the eggs... and it's hot out there,
mm-hmm.
that's not great. Especially
right.
if they're scared to come back to the nest. But it's worse if they get up off the nestlings and won't come back. You get those nestlings just sitting there baking in the sun, and that's not helping anything.
No, it's not. But it's cool to go up and see.
It is, as long as you're respectful.
Take
binoculars.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to be, you know, 20 feet away from them to see what's going on there.
Nope.
When I'm shooting with a... the camera, that's a 600 millimeter lens, so I can be way back and still get good shots. So I'm being respectful, and you should be too. Darce Park Boat Ramp I-75 Bridges area.
Got nothing.
Okay.
That makes it easy. That's been super quiet lately.
Yeah, we've got 6 reports here right now, and all of them say no reports off that spot.
Yeah, it's been quite...
It's maybe one of the strongest patterns we've had.
Yeah. Well, right there with Gilchrist.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, how about Live Oak Park Area 41 Bridges?
They'll be getting some snook in the early mornings and in the evenings. A couple of redfish were caught there. Mangrove snapper, a couple sheep's head, and a handful of trout. Hasn't been super fishy, but it's not dead by any stretch, which is good. One guy did catch a baby bull shark there the other day, too, on his mono leader, and he was thoroughly impressed that he was able to actually land it.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
Yeah.
And they finally have the bathroom fixed there, too.
Do they?
Yep.
Oh, there you go.
The county announced that. And then somebody said it doesn't matter if they fixed it because they never clean it. There's always poop on the floor.
Nice.
I said, great.
That doesn't sound really surprising.
No. Because some people are just dirtbags.
Yep. Yep.
The Lashley Pier.
Lashley Pier. A couple of trout.
You know, I'm told this Lashley Pier is technically closed.
Yeah?
So, I haven't gone over there to look. I think I may go over there as soon as we finish this report, but I'm told the pier is closed and the county has not determined when they're going to open it, that they need an engineering report.
No. I've had a couple people that have been fishing it. I haven't had huge reports of it, but I've had a couple people fishing there.
This may be why we haven't had as many reports over there.
It could be.
So I'm going to go follow up that.
And they also could be fishing off the seawall, not being specific enough to tell me that they're not fishing on the pier.
They could be. I'm going to go dig deeper.
Okay. In
the meantime, what have we heard?
A couple of trout, a couple of snapper, and a couple of snook. No big snook. The trout were, a couple of them were legal size. But, you know, like I said, haven't had a ton of reports. And it doesn't surprise me if it is closed down. Just like I said, people are probably saying, well, I'm down at Lashley Park, so I'm just assuming pier.
Right.
Because I know I like to fish off that seawall a lot.
How about the Bayshore Pier?
Oh, let's see. I've got a couple guys got some small trout off of it. What else did they say they had? I don't remember now.
Was it black drum?
Uh-uh.
Was it baby sharks?
Maybe it was a baby shark. I can't remember, to be honest with you. I just remember the trout. But I know they said some other fish that they had on or landed or something, but I can't remember.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was baby sharks. You know, yeah. That's a baby sharky pier.
Yeah. Lots of baby bull sharks come through there.
And you get some bonnethead show up there on that flat, even though it's mostly mud.
Yeah. But no, the trout for sure I can remember.
Okay. Can you remember anything from the Port Charlotte canals, salt and brackish?
Some snook, a couple of jacks, and then a few people have been catching some mangrove snapper and sand bream off their docks themselves. But other than that, it's actually been very quiet in those Port Charlotte canals. Especially behind my house. My house is terrible lately.
What's up with that?
I don't know. Like I told you last week, I couldn't even catch a catfish back there, and I tried like heck.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Got any toadfish back there?
There's been a couple. I've released a couple back there that are in the tanks from the shrimp deliveries.
Yeah, I saw you guys had some pets back there.
Yeah, there's 4 of them in there now. Yep. I wonder what species they are.
I knocked one of them out of his pipe.
Yeah.
I'm glad he didn't bite me.
There's 3 on the bottom and 1 up on top.
Yeah, Steve was showing me the one on the bottom hanging out underneath the little piece of structure that he has to hang out underneath. I'm sure the others are under there with him.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll put a pipe in there and let him hang out. I should bring those home and let him go.
Probably. Just so that you have something behind your house.
Yeah.
That you could catch.
Maybe.
Maybe. How about the El Jobin Pier?
El Jobin Pier. We got some snook. A few trout, a couple of sheep's head, and a couple of small mangrove snapper. Overall, kind of quiet.
Yeah, that sounds quiet, because there should be more than a couple sheep's head being caught.
You would think. I mean, I don't know if it's because of the storm and people just aren't fishing it as much, or something changed out there because of the storm. I mean, that's some place that you and I need to take a drive out there for little bit and do some walking and check in and out. See what it's about.
Okay. Want to do that Wednesday?
Maybe.
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 Maybe, baby. Myakka River area from the bridge to marker 8.
Got nothing.
No reports.
Nothing at all.
How about the South Gulf Cove canals?
Some snook. Oh, one woman catching some snook. Just idling through the canals, trolling by in the boat.
Did you say what they were eating?
She caught a couple on the Rapalas, and she caught a couple on Yozuri, and then she caught one decent one on a spoon. She just goes back there and just kind of idles around after she gets home from work. Sometimes she's out for 20 minutes, sometimes she's out for an hour and a half.
Good way to wind down.
Yeah. And then I had a couple people catch some sand bream and Mayan cichlids off their dock back in there, too.
Peeled shrimp?
Just shrimp. They didn't say peeled, they just said shrimp. But still a little bit of stuff.
I'd peel them.
Yeah.
This is what I would do. All right. How about the West Wall?
West Wall. Let's see. There's been some pompano on the top of the bar from various scattered points. They're not heavy, but they're definitely there. There's been some trout on top of the bar and just on the outside edge of the bar. And then anywhere where there's some moving water seems to be holding some snook and redfish along the bushes.
Okay.
Wouldn't say that it's gangbusters over there, but it's consistent. But the afternoon bite definitely has been better over there.
Is this toss out a piece of cut bait and wait, or cast lures, or
shrimp and paddle tails, shad tails? Those seem to be the main things going right now. And the colors turned darker for some reason with people this past week. Not as many pinks or electric chicken or white, more darker colors that people have been buying.
Which is interesting, considering that the water is getting more and more clear.
Right.
You would think it'd be going the other way.
You would think. Just a little different. Not really sure what that's about.
How about Cape Hayes?
Pompano and trout and some ladyfish. Been quite a few bonnet heads also being caught there.
Good size, or?
Not real good size. You know, 30 inches. Flipper's been really, really bad again. It seemed like there was a little break or people just weren't talking about them as much, but I've had two people tell me about flipper being a headache there, which is kind of semi-normal.
Are they taking just the released fish, or are they getting them off the lines too?
Both. Yeah, they're getting, I don't know, they're pretty bad. I know we're training them, but at the same time, I think there's a lack of food source for them, too, to some extent.
Sure, it's both. I mean, but those two things happening together, you know, really makes a very powerful, there's the self-training, and then we reinforce it.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
You know, I don't know if you ever realized how migratory those bonnethead sharks are.
Are they?
Yeah. It's not a fish that goes a super long distance, but they have basically a route that they follow. And apparently individuals will follow the same route. They've been doing some tagging studies on them.
Really?
And looking at where those fish go. And they go up to Tampa Bay, and they come down to Charlotte Harbor, and they go down to the 10,000 Islands, and they come back up to Charlotte Harbor, and then they go up to Tampa Bay.
Really?
So it's just this circuit that they follow.
That's pretty cool.
So when we have that super abundance of bonnethead sharks that we sometimes have, other places in Southwest Florida are looking around saying, hey, wait a minute, where do our sharks go?
Okay.
You know, they're out wading around and there's no bonnetheads on the flats because they all showed up here.
Okay.
So that's one of those things that when people start saying, oh, well, there's too many of this, or we don't have enough of that. Well, sometimes it's just because the fish are out there moving around.
Right. And
it's not that we don't have enough or that we have too many. It's just that they're all someplace else, or all of them happen to be here at the moment.
Right. No, that's pretty cool. Not really surprising, but pretty cool. But yeah, it does definitely reinforce the fact of when people start to complain about too many or not enough.
Yeah.
You know.
Too many cow nose rays.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's like, and it's funny how many of these species just go right under the radar. And it's also funny to me how many, like, super popular species sometimes go under the radar. Like, only in, like, the last 5 years, I think it was about 5 years ago, because they got such a, they got really super strict regulations on striped bass up in the Northeast. Mm-hmm. And it took a tuna fisherman to say, hey, you know what? Those stripers actually don't really leave there. They just happen to come out to the canyon 80 miles out where everyone's tuna fishing. And guys are catching, you know, 40, 50, 60 pound stripers. Right. And like schools of them, like you picture bluefish or jacks. And yet none of the biologists knew anything about that. So kind of a trip.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes it's hard being a biologist and being expected to have the answers to these things. And, you know, sometimes it takes a lot of study to try to figure it out.
Sometimes all they have to do is just go ask anglers.
Well, sometimes. And then sometimes nobody seems to know. Like, I do not believe what they tell me about sheep's head.
No, I don't believe it either.
That the sheep's head just, oh, well, they're bunched up in groups this time of year, and then they scatter out into the backcountry during the summer. Where? Where exactly in the backcountry do they scatter out to? Because that's where they are right now.
Right.
You catch them on the mangroves, you catch them out on the oyster bars in the backcountry areas. Yes, you do find maybe more of them around some of the docks or the hot spots, the trestle, the passes, and places like that. But come down here in July and try to find some sheep's head.
Even May.
Scour the backcountry.
Even May.
Go to town. Dig all through there and tell me how many sheep's head you see. Never mind catch.
Right.
So, I think it's bullcrap.
Nope, I'm with you on that one.
But, on the other hand, I have no idea where they go. Because, you know, we used to talk about it's probably offshore, and yet we have people who are ranging farther and farther offshore now and doing bottom fishing. You ever hear about somebody catching a sheep's head out in water past, let's say, 80 feet deep?
Nope.
Not once. Not one time. Nope. Guys are out there deep dropping.
Even the divers.
They've got to be finding the sheep's head if they were out there. It yeah. would be happening. Yeah. And it's not happening. Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know. Stuff to drive you crazy.
Yes. It's a parallel universe that they disappear into. Little something. Black hole.
Something. And, you know, you can't say, well, they migrate and they all go down to Cuba or they all go over to Texas or something, because it's like that all up and down the eastern seaboard.
Mm-hmm.
Here they are during this time of year. Oh, there they went. Where'd they go?
Oh. Poof.
I know.
Magic trick.
What are they doing? Going into the Bermuda Triangle?
Yeah. Hey, that's possible.
How about turtle and bull bays?
Turtle and bull bays, probably the best, most active fishing. Snook, redfish, trout, bonnet heads, lady.
Hold on. You know I can't type that fast.
I know.
Snook.
Redfish.
Redfish.
Trout.
Ladyfish.
Ladyfish.
Bonnet heads.
Bonnet heads. Sheep's head.
Sheep's heads.
Even some mangrove snapper. Mostly smaller snapper, but they are catching them. And they're catching them up under the bushes, under the shacks, around the oyster bars, out in the open grass flats. I mean, they're scattered everywhere through there. Now, is it on fire? No. But is it definitely more consistent with the fish cooperating there? Yes. And it's almost a mirror image in the next spot that you're going to. It's pretty much the same thing. It's just... And it's shrimp and paddle tails mostly. A couple of guys have been throwing topwaters back there and getting an occasional jack and an occasional snook on it. But, you know, quality is okay, but the quantity is far more consistent than anything else going. Which is a little odd because usually that place is more like this in March.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing is, you talk to people who are fishing the upper harbor,
mm-hmm.
and you get a few guys who are like, oh, yeah, we're doing fine. But most of it is like, well, I don't know, man. It's pretty slow up here. I'm not catching too many fish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, then you talk to guys along the intercoastal, where you would typically expect people to be catching more fish this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
But talk to the guys who are fishing Lemon Bay, and they're telling me, not a whole lot of fish here. Are you hearing different?
No, I'm hearing about the same thing.
And yet, somehow, right here in the middle, Turtle and Bull Bay.
Right.
That Gasparilla Sound area seems to be pretty consistent, and it seems to have been pretty consistent now for the last several weeks. I mean, you just look at the reports. That's why I leave several weeks' worth of reports on here, so you can follow the trends. I mean, I'm planning to, once we start the next month, I'll take the old month off. So once we start in February, I'll take December out. But right. I want to have at least that month's worth of reports for people to look back and kind of find the trends there. And looking at the trends, it definitely has been, this Gasparilla Sound has been the place to be.
Yeah, I'll go with you on that one.
But I don't know exactly why. I don't know exactly what the problem is with Lemon Bay. You know, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of boat traffic. Yeah, the water's a little bit murkier up there. But there's still grass up there.
Oh, yeah.
There's, the habitat hasn't changed that much. I don't there's still plenty of water flow up there. It's not like it's gone all stagnant.
Right.
You know, water flows pretty good through Stump Pass. There should be some fish up there. And yet, guys are driving right past what used to be their home waters to come down here and fish Turtle Bay, Bull Bay, Placida.
Yeah. No, yeah, I'll agree with that. And even with the reports that I get from Bill from the Inglewood Fishing Club, all those guys, they like to go down to, you know, put in at Placida or drive down to Gasparilla from up there and Lemon Bay.
Yeah. Now, you said my next spot was going to be the same, but my next spot is the Cape Hayes Reef and Danger Reef.
Oh, okay. Well, then that doesn't matter.
So
they've been getting a couple trout on them and a couple small mangrove snapper. But other than that, it's been pretty quiet on those reefs.
No sheepies.
Nope. Which is, you know, and Danger Reef's missing its piling. But it wouldn't surprise me if what little debris was there might have got obliterated.
Right.
So it's really hard to say.
But Cape Hayes Reef should have some sheep's head on it.
It should. But it's never a great spot for them. It's
just never a great spot.
Mm-mm.
But that's one reason why I liked it.
Right.
Because it's not a great spot, so a lot of people will just skip it.
Right.
I'll bet there's some sheep's head out there and they're just not talking about them. I'll bet that's what's happening. Sneaky fisherman.
Very probable. I'll go with you on that.
All right. Now, I think you meant Gasparilla Sound.
Yes.
As the next spot that I was going to. So.
Yeah. That is pretty much a mirror image. I mean, whether it's behind the Three Sisters or over there at Whidden Bay and Whidden Creek, it's almost the same as it is in Turtle and Bull.
Lots of fish and lots of variety.
Yep.
Let's see if I can remember them all. Snook, redfish, ladyfish, pompano, bluefish.
No bluefish.
Pomfrets, bluefin tuna.
Trout.
Whale sharks. Oh, yeah. Trout.
Whale sharks. Nice. Nice touch. Bonnet heads.
I was going to say mega mouth, but I figured nobody knows what a mega mouth is.
About seven gill. Goblin. Goblin would be cool.
Goblin would be cool. I think a megamouth would be cooler.
Yeah, it would.
I mean, goblin sharks are neat, but they don't have glowing lips, so.
True.
Come on.
This is true. Now people are hopefully going to look up a megamouth.
I hope so.
They're neat looking.
They are. You can catch them with an anchor.
Yeah.
Placida area, the pier, the trestle, the Coral Creek pier, and Gasparilla Pass.
Oh, there's been some sheep's head there.
Some.
It's been one of the more consistent spots for sheep's head. Been some pompano, a couple of bonnet heads, and some very small mangrove snapper. A couple guys went there, were going snook fishing there the other night, but I never did hear back from them to hear how they did. But I know last week a few people caught snook there at night.
Now, if you're going sheep's head fishing there, shrimp?
Shrimp, clams, night crawlers, fish bites. Pretty much be my options. I mean, the fish bites are going with me regardless, and I put that on the hook first. Because I'm not a very good sheep's head fisherman, and I know I'm going to get my bait robbed. Seems to make my confidence level go up when I land more fish when I got the fish bites on it.
Did you guys get the blue crab flavor fish bites yet?
No, I don't think so.
Facebook was advertising that to me.
Yeah.
The other day. New flavor.
Blue crab.
Blue crab.
Interesting.
And I said, I bet it tastes the same.
Yeah, probably.
Lemon Bay, Stump Pass, Lemon Bay Park, Indian Mound Park.
Well, there's been some trout up there at Indian Mound Park. a few trout and a sheep's head underneath the Tom Adams Bridge. But those are the only two reports I've gotten. And those were from the Inglewood Fishing Club.
Is there an Indian Mound at Indian Mound Park?
I think so. I think so. It's been too long since I've been there to remember it, but I'm pretty sure there is. I'm
trying to remember the last time I was there. I don't remember looking for an Indian Mound.
It's been a minute.
All right, well, when we go up to Elgin, we can go look at the Indian Mound.
Oh, okay.
This is turning into a day trip.
Yeah, right?
The Anger Pier next to the Tom Adams Bridge.
I got nothing there this week. Little on the quiet side.
Okay. The Vianus Jetties.
Sheep's head. And hey, there's been even some sheep's head there. Let's see, a couple of whiting caught on the beach side of the jetties. A couple of snook caught there in the evenings. And that's it. One guy said he can't fish there anymore. That was in the other day.
Why is that?
His balance is too far off and he slipped and busted open his melon.
Oh. That sucks.
That's not good. He said he didn't need stitches, but he said it was cut pretty good.
What does he fish for out there? Is he a sheep's head guy or a snook guy?
Yeah, sheep's head guy.
Did you turn him onto a cane pole?
I told him about trying to use a cane pole or a surf rod because he's from up north and he said he had one in his garage.
Cane pole's the way to do it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but no, he said it's just, he said he slipped a few different times on those rocks, but he said hitting his head got him to stop.
I'm sure it did. Yeah, you really got to stay off those rocks if you don't have absolute confidence in your balance. And even if you do have absolute confidence, you can still fall and bust yourself. In a skinny minute.
Yep, I've slipped enough times on them and fallen on my butt. I haven't hit my head yet, but I've hit my butt and my elbows pretty good.
Yeah.
It happens.
It do. Gulf of Mexico, bottom fishing and trolling reefs and wrecks.
Nobody's really trolling, but there are people out there catching grunts, snappers, porgies, a few snapper between 3 and 15 miles. And then between 15 and 20 miles is where they start to get a little bit better on the snapper side, along with some yellowtail snapper. And then 25 to 35 miles out is definitely your better action for your more legal size red grouper, bigger mangs, bigger lanes, bigger yellowtail. I mean, the size of all those fish just goes up significantly at that 30 to 35 mile range. Man, they're getting them on shrimp, squid, sardines. I mean, a good mixed variety of stuff.
And it's been okay for getting keeper red grouper out there?
Yeah. You know, they've only had a few reports because last week was the first week in a while that it was actually nice enough for people to get out, but they did pretty good.
They talking about any of the other stuff out there? Amberjack? And
nope. I didn't hear anything about amberjack, no pelagics, nothing. It's what it is, I guess, sometimes.
Well?
That's what Sarasota Girl is for.
Right. Of course, she doesn't do this fishing report. You have to listen to the Radio Waterline show in order to hear Miss Ashley's report out of Economy Tackle. So.
In Sarasota.
Right.
That's
why we call it the Sarasota Report.
No,
because that's where it's from.
Hey, how about that?
Did you know that that's why it was called that, for that reason?
No, I wasn't sure about that.
How about Punarasa?
Got nothing. And then nothing.
Okay.
And then nothing. I got nothing all the way up until Boca.
Alrighty then. We'll just paste nothing into Redfish Pass. Once again, I did it wrong. I don't understand how I can... I'm just trying to copy-paste something. How can you do that wrong?
I don't know. I don't know how you do it to begin with, so...
Well, you know, the thing is, on this computer, for some reason, usually you just Control-C, Control-V. Control-C copies, Control-V pastes. On this computer, that's disabled. You can't do that. You have to highlight something, and then you have to click it with the mouse. You have to right-click it in order to copy it, and then right-click again to paste it. And I'm so used to using the keyboard command, it screws me up every time. How long have we been doing these reports now? I know.
A little while.
And it screws me up every single time.
Yeah. Well, if I had better reports, you wouldn't have to worry about it.
We could talk about that instead of talk about the idiosyncrasies of this particular keyboard.
Yes.
That brings us to Boca Grand Pass, where you did say you had something to report.
Uh-huh. Some snook, a few redfish, some sheep's head, a few whiting, some big jewfish. What else has been caught there? Did I say pompano?
Didn't.
Pompano. What else did the guy catch out there? Jacks. He got into a few jacks, too, one day. Small jacks, 2 to 4 pounds. But he said they were a riot because he had never caught anything. He had caught a jack before, so he was pretty excited about that.
Well, that is a bunch of different things.
Yeah. Kind of a mixed gamut, but it's like everything out there. It's always you sit for 2 hours, then it goes chaos. Then you sit for 2 more hours, nothing.
Right.
Yeah. It's kind of funny that it does that for the tarpon out there, too.
Maybe it's just something about the pass affects the fish that way.
Yeah, definitely something to that.
What about Matlacha?
Matlacha.
Matlacha.
I got nothing.
As my grandma used to call it, Matlacha.
Yeah, I got nothing down there, unfortunately.
Okay, that's fine. What about the south end of Pine Island Sound?
Nothing. No. Those people are still pretty devastated down there and getting things back together, but it's a slow process.
But you know, there are some people out there fishing.
Mm-hmm.
They just haven't been telling you nothing.
Right.
The north end of Pine Island Sound, the Rat and Cat Key area.
Trout. Trout. More trout. And then there has been a couple of snook and a couple of redfish being caught down there. But mostly it's been the trout.
Okay. I can live with that.
Yeah.
Moving upwards, Jug Creek Shoal and Boquelia.
Jug Creek Shoal and Boquelia. Mostly trout. That's pretty much the only thing I've gotten over there has been some trout, people telling me.
Lots of trout? Handful of trout? Couple of trout?
Handful of trout. Nothing really spectacular, but... Not terrible, but it was one report. Didn't have much more to go on from that.
Take what we can get.
Yeah.
Burntstorm and Tupine.
Let's see. There's been some pompano on the bar there, along with some trout. And then snook and redfish along the shorelines. And a few ladyfish here and there.
I'm going to say that there's ladyfish in between.
Yeah, in between. There you go. That works.
That gives it the impression that there are fish scattered all over the area, which is probably pretty accurate.
It is. It is a pretty good, accurate statement.
Okay. What about the East Side Keys, Pirate Harbor area?
Some bonnet heads. Heard of a couple short cobia. And then there has been some snook and redfish up around the islands. And then the trout have been in the middle of the day, if it's a higher tide, have been up on top or inside the bar. And just scattered. No one particular spot over another.
Mm-hmm. I don't like scattered.
Broadcasted?
No, I don't like them being scattered. It makes it hard to find them.
Mm-hmm.
It's annoying.
Yes.
Irritating of them.
It is.
They should just stay in one place and hold a sign up.
It would be easier, wouldn't it?
Alligator Creek, Poacher's Cut, skating rink.
A couple of jacks and a couple of snook, but other than that, it's been pretty quiet. Haven't even heard of any redfish in there.
Ponce de Leon Park.
Snook, small mangrove snapper, couple of jacks. That's been a weird one lately. Weirder than normal, because it's been off for the last year or so.
It's been off ever since they opened Buckley Pass.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So guess what that tells me?
Fish are going the other way.
It's permanently off.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking has happened here.
Whole new change to things.
Yeah, you change the hydrodynamics, you change the water flow of that whole canal system by opening up Buckley Pass on the south end there at Alligator Creek. And, yeah, that changed the way that the fish move in and out of there. So the people who got used to Juan Ponce de Leon Park being a great place to fish are now going to have to adapt to the new reality, yeah. Is what I think.
That makes sense.
Well, I mean, 3 months from now, I could be proved completely wrong.
And you might be, but as of this moment, you're probably right on the money with it. That could be why it's changed it.
I wish I wasn't, because, you know, it's such an accessible location
for
land-based anglers, and it always has been. It's been just a fantastic spot if you can keep the poachers out of there.
Yeah.
You know, which has been the only problem down there. It's always been awesome.
Yeah.
And now it looks like maybe it's not gonna be awesome anymore.
No.
It's a bummer.
Yeah.
PGI Canals, Punta Gorda area.
Well, a lot of snook. Mostly small snook, but a lot of snook. And guys are catching them trolling or just casting up underneath the docks. Been some jacks up to like 12 pounds. Some juvenile tarpon, mostly to view, not to catch. And a few mangrove snapper and sheephead. People are seeing a few black drum, but they're not catching any black drum, which is a little unusual.
Okay, so the baby tarpon and the drum are just for viewing purposes.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think it's frustrating.
Yeah. That it does. A lot of people trying to figure out how to fish the dock lights at night because they're seeing all these fish around their lights and their neighbor's lights. And it's entertaining when you show them the world's smallest lure just about.
Yeah. And they're just like, no way.
Yeah.
Not a chance.
And you point out, what do they see swimming around those lights? A lot of small bait fish and little tornadoes. I'm like, yep, that's what they're eating.
Hey, Robert. Gilchrist beer?
Zero. Nothing. Nada. Same as the last 2 months.
Hey, Robert.
Mm-hmm.
Alligator Creek Reef.
A few sheep's head, a few mangrove snapper, and that's it. The one guy did tell me that he's actually catching more sheep's head using a 12 and 15 pound leader. He's getting broke off a lot, but he's at least getting more bites. And to me, that makes a little bit more sense because of how highly pressured that reef is.
Oh, yeah. Well, and again, like I said, that water's getting nice and clear out there.
Yeah.
It's not crystal yet.
Mm-mm.
I don't think you're going to be able to see the reef.
Not for another month and a half.
I was going to say, it's a few weeks out.
Mm-hmm.
But the fish are having no problem seeing your tackle.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Do I even bother to ask about the deep holes in Charlotte Harbor?
Nope.
Didn't think so. What about bait fish? Do I bother to ask about that?
Nope. Not at all.
Not yet.
Yep.
How about the freshwater fishing?
Freshwater's been pretty decent. A lot of crappie. Some bass. No real giants. I think it was that six or 6.5 pounder that person caught. But the majority of them have been in that 1 to 2.5, 3 pound range. And then they've also been getting a handful of bluegill. And, of course, some Mayan cichlids. Lots of tilapia. What was that guy joking about the other day that he was going to go tilapia fishing and instead caught a whole bunch of crappie instead?
He said they were triple tail.
Oh, yeah, that's right, triple tail. Yeah, that was pretty entertaining. Couldn't tell if he was being sarcastic or...
Yeah, he was definitely being sarcastic. But, you know, people sometimes don't pick up on that, especially on social media.
Well, when it's typed out, it's very, very hard to tell.
You got to have a laughing emoji in there or something.
Yeah. Sure, okay. What's an emoji?
Okay, then.
Yeah.
Crappie reports, is that local or is that more in Central Florida?
Both. Getting them from all over. Istipogo, Placid, little bit in Okeechobee. One guy went over to Sebring. And a handful of guys fishing right here, just locally fishing around the culverts and the spill dams.
Mostly minnows?
Yeah. A couple guys buying some beetle spins, but mostly pretty much all minnows.
Mostly minnows. Okay. And we talked about some tarpon showing up in Boca Grande Pass last week. Has that still been happening? Because you haven't mentioned it.
I haven't had one report this week on it. Last week was kind of that. Hard to say. Maybe it was that one-shot deal because it was warm enough and they were active or what. But, you know, I think guys should go out there and take a look at it this week once it warms back up, like, what, Wednesday, Thursday, before that next front comes through.
Right. Yeah, the mid part of the week is your choice time to be out there with the light winds and the one-foot seas and the comfortable temperatures. It's going to be great through the middle of the week. And then as we head into Friday, yeah, that's when we're looking at that cold front starting to push through and a chance for rain. It gets windy again.
Right. Makes sense.
So those fish haven't been actually directly reported, but they might still be there?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure they're still there. They just, nobody's talking about them. Maybe they're catching them and they're going, we need to keep this quiet.
Yeah, don't tell nobody. It's a secret.
Mm-hmm. It is funny how sometimes that goes for a secret for a while and then you realize, wow, that was pretty good. That's impressive how long that secret lasted.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, I heard one guy talk about it 4 weeks ago. And then the next thing you know, his buddy's telling, yeah, we've been doing it for like the last 4 weeks out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, okay, cool. And then people catch on and start doing it.
Some secrets stick.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive to me sometimes.
I mean, look how long they've kept up the JFK conspiracy. So,
good point.
All right, I think that wraps this up.
Okay.
Do you agree?
I agree.
Fine then. We'll try to be back here next week to do another one of these, depending on Robert's schedule and whether I'm able to make him sit down for 40 minutes in a row. Although I think we did pretty good this week without you getting interrupted too much.
Yeah, we did real good.
By your own respiratory system.
Yeah.
Which happens.
It happens.
All right. That's it for this one. Say goodnight, Robert.
Goodnight, Robert.